12:04. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. It is Top Text Tuesday. Yeah. Yep. Presented by Fresh Coat Painters of South Platte. Appreciate those guys. We got the Nuggets gift bag still. It's a gym bag full of Nuggets swag, including a Nikola Jokic hoodie. And Colfax, I left my my chart in my office. I've got Sir Charles, Pillow Fight Dan, and Dixon could win today. Does that sound right to you? It's the first 1-3 when we recharge this. And I know Sir Charles and I know Pillow Fight Dan's hanging in there.
I think Dixon's on that list.
Dixon's on that list.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a lot of guys that have won one. But so we got three potential hooligans that could take the Nuggets prize today. And then that means we would reload for the next prize starting up next week. So get them in. Get the text in. What are we talking about today? Oh, I got my Power to Play Sports poll question up. Should the Broncos start over with the offensive scheme and replace Pat Shurmur? You know, that's kind of been the talk, is maybe Pat Shurmur's not the guy. So, again, I mean, just off the top of my head here, Rich Scangarello, Bill Musgrave, Mike McCoy, Adam Gase. I mean, you've gone through a lot of different offensive coordinators, and pretty much every year there's a new coordinator. I mean, what, two different stints with Mike McCoy, right? So I say, Colfax, I answer no to that. That doesn't mean I'm predicting Pat Shurmur to suddenly have an epiphany and then they're better and they're fitting in the right play calls and everything starts to mesh. At some point, I do think you just got to quit changing things. You have to just let it go. And listen, that is terrifying for me because I'm with you guys. I am with the ones that are saying, hey, you know, it's not getting any better. So Drew Locke's, you know, he doesn't have a shot. But you just keep changing things over and over. I mean, just the head coaches alone. Since Elway's been in charge, you hire John Fox. You hire Gary Kubiak. You hire Vance Joseph and now Vic Fangio. I mean, you don't want to be in this spot where you're hiring another head coach anytime soon. So you want to be careful. And then, obviously, that goes with the offensive coordinator, the quarterback. When does the carousel stop? Because you've turned it over with quarterbacks to where the networks are putting out creepy graphics. Did you see the creepy graphic last night on Monday Night Football? Or somebody just shared, I don't know if it was relevant, of Joe Flacco back in the day when he was with the Ravens, flapping his wings. And it's like an animated thing, and he's dancing, and every once in a while his wings flap. Like that, it's terrifying, it's great, I love it. But you all saw the quarterback carousel, the coaching carousel, the coordinator carousel. You can't keep doing it. So I think for better or worse, I don't care what their record ends up being. I mean, I suppose if you don't win another game and you're getting blown out by 20 every game from here on out, then, I mean, maybe. Maybe you're at a point where you have to make a decision because you're just, it's so bad. But like as of right now, I don't see it happening. I really don't. You got to be careful with this. The Broncos are already in this tough territory where they're becoming a bad franchise. This isn't just one or two bad years anymore. And oh, they're young and we'll reload. The Broncos have been retooling and reloading since 2015. The problem is Elway was never committed to a rebuild. Tear it down and rebuild after Peyton Manning. You know, they go 9-7, so you can't blame them. The very next year, they go 9-7 with Gary Kubiak, and that was the Trevor Siemian year, right? So, I mean, you can't necessarily blame them. They were one game away from going to the playoffs. But then after that, that's when, you know, Gary's done. His heart's not in it anymore. His health's not in it anymore. Who knows? There's a lot of stuff going on there. And he just moves on. And from that point, maybe that's when the Broncos should have looked at it and said, all right, we need to start just drafting 100% for need and go from there. Instead, Elway's drafting guys that, you know, just superstars, guys that potentially could be superstars. I mean, the draft has been confusing for years for Elway. So as much as that trigger finger is pulsating right now, you need to stay the course. And unfortunately, you may only, I mean, I don't know where you go, like the Raiders game. I have that as a win, you know, and I'll give you my full prediction on Friday, but I don't know where you go. I don't see that. I see this team winning some more games. I really do. I have a hard time believing this offense is that damn bad, but you know, here we are 3 weeks in a row, Kansas City, go back to the Chargers game. And then of course against Atlanta, the offense is just, they fall asleep for the first half. First Advantage text line 31-996-31996. Text the program, get involved, have a great take, and you might take one of these home. You might take a top text Tuesday and edge closer to winning the Denver Nuggets gift certificate. No, this is legit, man. This is the fan Nuggets package. And look at this, Colfax. My big story of the day presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. The NBA and Players Union have reached an agreement in principle on the start of the 2020-21 season, as well as an amended collective bargaining agreement the two sides announced last night. Free agency begins 6 o'clock Eastern on Friday, November 20th, next Friday, 2 days after next week's draft. So you'll have the draft next Wednesday, and we haven't even touched that yet. We're going to start busting into it in the next couple of shows. And we'll get, actually, Chris Dempsey's going to join the program at 105 today. So we'll talk about the NBA and the salary cap and what that looks like for Denver. Because we haven't really looked at it in a while. But Colfax, you're about a month away now. I mean, you got free agency starting on next Friday. The regular season begins a month from that, basically. So free agency starts next Friday. The season will begin December 22nd. There will be 72 games. I'm really curious to see if the NBA does this and kind of sticks with it. Because Colfax, you asked me in prep, and when's the season roughly start? I think people are forgetting, right? Because 2020 is the longest year in the world. Typically, yeah, late October. Well, what's going on in late October? You got football, NFL, college. You got a lot to compete with. If you start your season December 22nd, you're competing in that first few weeks with NFL playoffs, right? But after January, after February, but yeah, once January's over, usually the Super Bowl's what, last week of January, first week of February, it's your full go at that point. So most of your season, you know, you're going to spend what, a month competing with the NFL. But I think that this could be very good for them. So what would that, I don't know when they would end. So are they just, because they're doing 72 games. So what is that? An equivalent of like 2 weeks. They usually end, playoffs usually start in May. So clearly they're not going to start. So I think you'd push it out. Playoffs would probably start in late June, early July, and then you're finishing in August, September? Does that seem right? I mean, again, I'm going 72 games. There's typically, what, 3 games a week? Something like that. So you're going to push out, I guess that'd be like, if you're doing it's 2 to 3 weeks, you know, less than you normally do. Yeah, very, very interested to see how this all works out. You know, I want to get into the salary cap and all that, but you have some dates here. Friday, November 20th will be the free agent period. That's when we'll begin there. And whew, there's a lot of questions still out there for the Nuggets. You know, we haven't touched on it in a while. Paul Millsap, Mason Plumlee, Jeremy Grant, what's that looking like? Jrue Holiday's name is out there, apparently on the trade block. How aggressive can the Nuggets be? Salary cap's going to be set at $109.1 million. The luxury tax, is it going to be $132.6 million? Basically the same numbers, I think, as last year. Salary cap's going to be guaranteed to go up by a minimum of 3% per year and a maximum of 10% through the remainder of the collective bargaining agreement, which was supposed to be the plan last year, but not the case. What else? Any notable things here? First Advantage text line, again, if you want to get involved, 31-996-31996. Training camp starts December 1st, so I don't know. Am I wrong on that? When did we end, Colfax? When did the playoffs end? What's that? That wasn't October. We ended in September, I'm pretty sure. Was it late September? There was no playoffs in October, right? I guess I could probably just look here and see. When was the Nuggets' last game? It's crazy how the year, I just have no idea where we are in the year anymore. Last game. Okay, the Nuggets' last game was September 26th. And then you had the Lakers. Would the Lakers win in five? Is that right? Lakers won in five or six? So you finished in mid-October?
Looks like October 11th.
October 11th. Okay, they won in six. October 11th they finished. So, yeah, I mean, doesn't that make sense for what they would probably, if they're starting December 22nd, they normally start, let's just say for the sake of argument, they started, October 22nd. So, I mean, that's just going to push you back 2 months. So you go 2 months in, and instead of this playoff starting May, June, they'll start late June, July-ish, maybe? Yeah, October 22nd was the first game last year. So, yeah, you're going to go 2 months. And then, obviously, when those playoffs started up, typically, again, you got to look at when those playoffs start, and it's usually around that point. You're going well into June when that's all said and done with. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's crazy, right? It seems like we just got done with everything, but here we are. And I think a lot of people are very curious to see the load management thing's probably going to, take effect like we've never seen before. No, Colfax, I'm wrong on that. Playoffs start in April. Is that correct? Yeah, first round start in April. Wow, way off. Just completely lost there. First round is in April. Second round is typically May. So, yeah, you're going to be pushing this out in the summer, which is great, because who are you competing with? This will be stretched out over the summer, not ending in June. This will be put out there where you're getting to the point where you're not having to contend with anything other than baseball. I don't know, again, that would be huge. I talked about this earlier, Colfax. Hey, if you can start your season a little bit later, does the NBA consider doing this for the foreseeable future? And do they cut it down to just 72 games? 72 games, every game means a little bit more now. 17 minutes after the hour. We're very excited today, Colfax. We're going to have Brian Urlacher on the program. Yeah, I said it right. You guys think I'm messing with you. Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher. Of course, got something really cool he's going to be talking about. And a lot we're going to get into. But, we're going to talk about his career a little bit, too. A sensational player, great human being. So I'm really excited to talk to him later on in the program. Chris Dempsey will join me at 1 o'clock, and we'll break into the NBA. So a lot to get to on this Top Text Tuesday. Again, text the program 31996-31996. McLean says, so are we going to start an NBA season without rookies? Yeah. Like, how does that work if you've opted in? If you're already, opting into play, yeah, that's a very good question. I don't know how that's going to work. If you're a senior right now, and I would imagine you can't opt into play right now. You're going to just opt out. We'll have to get to that. 18 minutes after the hour, Colfax. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll bust into the poll question. Also, more on CSU Boise State. That's my game of the week. I had a hard time. Broncos Raiders or Broncos Rams. And I let Twitter decide. My game of the week will be CSU at Boise State. Can the Rams pull off another upset on Thursday night? We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
You want football? Set your dial to KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Got to give a shout out to Windsor Mill Tavern. Windsor Mill Tavern is in the newly remodeled historic Windsor Mill. They're on Main Street. They'll be your new favorite spot in Northern Colorado, I promise, if you haven't been there yet. I know my guy McLean's texting, and I know he's been there. You had the bison burger. What'd you think? Let me know. Rate it 1 through 10, 10 being, like, to die for. You had the Great Range bison tenderloin, wild game meatloaf, game sausages. I mean, there's that. Plus, okay, you don't like that kind of stuff. Okay, that's cool. You can get the comfort food. You can get a regular cheeseburger. You can get, you know, a bunch of different food. Slider burgers they have there, too. It's great. Handcrafted cocktails and an all-encompassing beer list and a wonderful selection of whiskey and tequilas and a premium wine list there at Windsor Mill Tavern. First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. It is Top Text Tuesday. Dixon says, I feel really sorry for those NBA guys that only get 71 days of vacation. Hope their bodies can recover in time down in Cabo. Yeah, no, I'm not, trust me, I'm not one of those guys that's like, oh man, how are they ever going to recover? They're getting plenty of time. Mine is more the logistics of it. You know, how's that going to look when you're scheduling things out and, you know, potentially what this might mean for next season and you know, kind of goes down there. So I'm more just interested how, you know, even the simple thing like the ratings. What's the rating? What are the ratings going to look like if you start in December? Will you have fans in the stands? Because Colfax, there's a vaccine now that's approved or whatever. It's out there. So what is that going to look like by the time you get to December 22nd? Are teams going to feel better? Is the league going to feel better about letting fans go in the stands, knowing that by that time, you know, frontline workers, probably more elderly people, more susceptible to this sickness would be able to take the vaccine. So does that change things? I'll be very curious. 26 minutes after the hour, Colfax. When we come back, do not miss this interview. Hall of Famer Brian Urlacher going to join us on the program. First, though, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffaloes beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, and it's an absolute honor to bring this next guest on the program. We're going to be talking to Brian Urlacher, Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, eight-time Pro Bowler, terrified all Broncos fans and any fans of the NFL for a very, very long time. We're going to talk a little bit to Brian about football, of course, but about Pork Rind Appreciation Day as well. Brian, my friend, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, anytime. We got to try to do this more often. You know, Broncos fans would want to know here in Colorado, of course. You know, what was, you know, as far as guys like Peyton Manning, Jay Cutler. I mean, we got to talk a little bit about some of those quarterbacks that you went up against Manning for so many years, and of course the Super Bowl. That was a battle back then, my friend.
Battle he won, obviously. But yeah, you know, some great quarterbacks played in Denver. You know, I think we played him in 03 and Jake Plummer was still there. And I think we played him once when before Jay got traded to Chicago. We played him in Chicago, and we beat him like 35-33 or something like that. I never played him when Peyton was there. I think I was long gone before he got there. But just some good quarterbacks, and what a great place to play football. You know, we played there a few times over my career, and the fans are unbelievable. And the elevation is no joke. We find out real quick playing there how bad the altitude will get you.
I was going to ask you that next because, you know, when you talk to Broncos players, you know, they get used to it and they're like, oh, come on, whatever. Yeah. But you tell me, yeah, what's that like and when do you start feeling that?
So I played a college in Albuquerque, and sure, we're a mile high in Albuquerque as well. And so, you know, if I'd have been there, it'd have been okay. But if you don't practice in it, man, that first quarter, your chest is burning. Especially, I played there. It was freezing one year. It was probably one of the coldest games I've ever played in. It was December, and it was freezing. My chest felt like it was going to explode. It was horrible. So it's definitely an issue, you know, especially if it's cold weather. You feel it in your chest. But it's just amazing how you never think, because you're in great shape, you know, during season, you never think the Dallas two will get you. There's definitely a difference.
Now, what was it like? How about this one? Getting that gold jacket, first ballot Hall of Famer. I don't think there was doubt in anyone's mind when your name was up in that list a couple of years ago. Talk to us about that moment for you. Was that from the beginning of your career? Was that a goal, or were you more like, hey, I just want to play football, and here I am.
I just want to play football. That was my goal. I just wanted to get to play in the NFL, honestly. No, that wasn't my goal when I got to college, but the better I got, the bigger I got, the faster I got, the more I realized that'd be an opportunity for me. But, you know, in the NFL, I was just trying to hang around for 10 years if I could, you know, get in there, get my foot in the door and try and stick around for a while. And I just, you know, I got better and better over my career. I had some great, great coaches, some great teammates, and just, you know, I was able to, number one, stay healthy. It's hard to stay healthy in the NFL, you know, unless you're a quarterback, because you don't get hit. But for other players, it's hard to stay healthy in the NFL. And I was fortunate enough to stay healthy long enough to stay on the field. But getting that gold jacket was pretty dang cool. You know, we had a great class. Brian Dawkins, you know, ex-Bronco, went in with us. Terrell, Ray, Randy Moss, just an awesome class I had a chance to go in with.
Yeah, I love that you said that, too. You can't hit the quarterbacks, especially now. I mean, you were in that stage, too, Brian. Again, we're talking to Brian Urlacher, first ballot Hall of Famer. We're going to get into some more about Pork Rind Appreciation Day. But you were in that, you know, 2000, 2012. The defenses, we were starting to change. It was starting to change throughout your career, really. Talk about the challenges because, I mean, in that span, you're changing so many different coverage rules and you're really protecting the quarterback. Now it's way different. But talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's frustrating to watch now, honestly, because of all the rules. It's really frustrating to watch those defensive players try and make plays. I feel bad for the corners, honestly, because they got no chance. They can't touch them. They can't hit them. But, you know, towards the end of my career, when we started protecting the quarterbacks even more than they do, it's frustrating for me because I feel like, why not protect the D-line? Why not protect, you know, our DBs from guys throwing at their knees? You know, it drives me crazy when a lineman cuts a D-lineman and his knee gets hurt. That's okay. We know that's not a big deal. His ACL will heal eventually, I guess. That's the way the NFL looks at it. But it just drives me crazy the way the rules are balanced towards the offense. I know fans want to see points. I get it. But as an ex-defensive player, I like to see our guys protect a little bit as well.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be blasphemy here if I mention this guy, but a former Packer, right? Clay Matthews. Was it 2 years ago? I mean, to me, it's like that's you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. I was so mad. It was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, a form tackle. I mean, isn't that what you teach him? And then suddenly he gets a play call. He puts his hands up. He's like, I don't know what to do anymore. What do I do?
I guess just try not to hit him. You know, and then I got to have somebody get a roughing the passer on a sack. You know, he sacked the quarterback and he got a roughing the passer called on a sack. I don't understand the rules sometimes. I know it's protecting people for the health of the game. I get it. I understand it. I don't have to like it, though. It just is frustrating to me to see some of those penalties called. And I feel like they're always called in 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15. We're trying to get off the field and then make one of those calls that kind of changes the outcome of the game.
Yeah, and for a guy like you, I mean, obviously a sound linebacker, one of the greatest linebackers to play the game, but you were a hard hitter. I mean, and now you look at guys that we have Kareem Jackson, safety for the Broncos. I mean, this guy makes his living hitting really, really hard, changing the outcome of games. I'm just curious, is that enter your mind? Did that enter your mind? Hey, I got to be careful here on this play. Or when action starts, are you even thinking of that stuff?
I think now you have to be cognizant of it. When I played, it never crossed my mind. I don't feel like I try to hit guys in the helmet. I mean, sometimes you don't have a choice if you're put in a position. Sometimes if you're going to hit someone, you're going to have to take them where you can get it. But now you kind of have to think about that. And it's so hard to think about that because there's split-second decisions. You have to change your aim point, you know, based on where the guy's going to be, where you think he's going to be. And then if you miss, it's a penalty. And like I said, it could cost you 15 yards and your team a fine or a suspension. So it's hard for these guys now playing football, defense.
Yeah, I can't imagine. We're talking to Brian Urlacher, first ballot Hall of Famer, 8-time Pro Bowler. Of course, one of those great Chicago Bears. So many great players. And Brian, that's got to be cool, too. Obviously, Chicago, I mean, one of the richest histories in all football. But to be one of those guys, so many great, great coaches and players.
You know, when you get there, I grew up in New Mexico, so I didn't know a lot about the Bears when I got there. I quickly learned about the tradition and how it works and just the way our fans love defense. You know, like I said, I didn't watch them growing up, but Buckus, Singletary, Bill George, you learn quickly about those guys because the media's always talking about them, especially playing middle linebacker. They always bring it up, and I never felt that like I was like, why are you comparing me to them? Because they're in the Hall of Fame. I'm a rookie. I'm a second-year guy. I really haven't played enough football to be in that category. I feel better about it now with the way it ended up. But early on, you just, you know, it's hard to kind of live up to those expectations because you don't know what they're trying to compare you to.
Well, like you said to start the segment, you know, you weren't necessarily looking at Hall of Fame right off the bat. I don't know about a lot of players, but you go, New Mexico, you know, we cover a lot of Colorado State. Not a lot of guys make it to the NFL from there either. But you're seeing a guy like Shaq Barrett with Tampa Bay. I mean, it's rare. So, I mean, for you, you got to be like royalty with New Mexico, man. I mean, because there's not really a lot of NFL guys coming out of New Mexico these days.
You'd be surprised. You know, before I got to NFL, I think we had two or three guys drafted in each draft class the previous 4 years before I got drafted. Not in the first round, but you know, we had some guys that would go third, fourth, fifth round. They play 6, 7 years, so that's pretty good. That I would have been happy with that, honestly, too, in my career. But I was, like I said, I stayed healthy. I was happy about it. I stayed with the same team my whole career. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool to be able to do that. And coming from the Mountain West, you just don't know what's going to happen. There's some good teams out there, but we kind of get overlooked because maybe the conference you're playing, people don't think it's as good as the Big Ten or the Pac-12 or any of those conferences. Like I said, it's SEC maybe, but we got some good players out there.
Yeah, hidden gems, right? I mean, that's kind of what we talk
for
about
sure.
with a lot of these Colorado State guys, too, and, of course, New Mexico.
Isn't Michael Gallup the kid from Colorado State?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, he's good. I'm a huge fan of his. I grew up a Cowboys fan. I'm still a fan of theirs, but I like what he does on the football field. He plays hard.
Yeah, so many solid wide receivers there for a while. I mean, a lot of wide receivers churning out. We're going to see Warren Jackson now at that point. But, Rams fans are going to love that you just dropped a Michael Gallup line there, man. I mean, they're going to appreciate
it.
They're going to love that, man.
That's good.
Watching football, I want to get to this too, Pork Rind Appreciation Day here in just a moment, but watching football, college football, obviously it's crazy now. I mean, you got some teams that just started last week. You got some teams that are, you know, halfway done with their season. It's very difficult to keep up. It doesn't really feel, is it fair to say it doesn't really feel legit quite this year?
It's definitely different. That's for dang sure. I'll say that. But hey, at least they're playing. You know, you go from a lot of teams aren't going to play this year to at least having some games. I think the kids are excited about that. The conferences. So I guess you take what you can get this season. It's a weird year. They've done the best they can trying to get kids out there on the field and playing and keeping them healthy. So I guess just take what you can get and be happy about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Do you keep up with, are you watching the Bears? Are you watching what this Bears team's doing, Nick Foles, quarterback controversy?
I haven't watched them play this year, honestly. During the pandemic, we kind of got into a routine of doing things like on Sundays and stuff like that. So I haven't really watched a lot of football on Sunday, to tell you the truth. I did watch Monday night last night and last week. I love the announcers on Monday night this year, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
They're so great. Man, yeah. Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and then Brian Greasy.
Yeah.
So they do such a good job. I just feel like they're so much more positive than the years past. So I watched Monday night, like I said, but I actually haven't watched the Bears play yet. But hopefully during the season I will at some point.
Well, so I'll ask you then, since you watched Monday Night Football, how do you feel? Yeah. Jets fans today are saying, hey, we're glad we won that baby. We won. How do you view that as a player?
Gladly won. What do you mean? The Jets lost.
Yeah. No, I was saying we wanted to lose. Excuse me. The tanking.
Completely undefeated. Disagree. That no player in this league tells you they're happy to lose a game. Or in that league. If they do, they're lying. You know, and there's no tanking. I have a hard time believing that a player is not going to go out there and play 100% and try and win every game. It's hard for me to believe that. It doesn't matter what your record is. Your prize is still on the line every game. You know, you want to show people how good you are, what you can do. So they're going to play as hard as you can.
Brian, I know you guys have had so many successful seasons. Did you ever come close to that? Were there coaches ever hinting at some kind of deal like that? No?
Never. No. I think – so my rookie year, we were 1-7 after 8 games. 1-7 after 8 games. We ended up 5-11. We went 4-4 last 8 games. The next year, we go 13-3. So I just think you're kind of building momentum. And it was the exact same team, honestly, as it was my rookie year. Maybe a couple changes, but we got a year older. You know, we got a little better. And I think you just don't know what's going to relay into. If you just give up, you're not going to know. But I think we carried the momentum from my rookie year into my second.
Well, and there's no guarantees, right? I mean, quarterbacks can be taken in the second and third and be monsters. And guys taken first pick overall can fizzle out after 4 seasons.
Isn't it crazy how that works? Like, you just don't know. Like, the draft is such a crapshoot. You have no idea what you're – I mean, you know what they do in college, but that's not the NFL.
Yeah.
You just don't know with health and stuff like that. But, yeah, look at Russell Wilson. Tom Brady, obviously, did a pretty decent job. He was drafted in my class. But Russell Wilson, the third or fourth round pick, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, it's insane. You're exactly right. We're talking to Brian Urlacher, first ballot Hall of Famer. Pork Rind Appreciation Day, Brian. Tell us a little bit about this. And obviously now the lead up to the celebration is just crazy with all the everything going on in 2020, right?
Yeah, well, it's on Super Bowl Sunday. But, you know, the Pork Rind's Southern Recipe partnered up with the Gridiron Grade, so I'm a huge fan of. I was Coach Dickens started Gridiron Greats a few years ago. And what it is all the ex-players or guys who played, you know, 20, 30 years ago who don't quite get the benefits now that the players do. You know, they didn't get insurance. They didn't get the retirement. And they've got he just tries to do whatever he can to help them and raise money and actually bring awareness to their situations. You know, you would ask me when I played, I had no idea that a bunch of guys were going through the health issues they were going through, the mental issues, or even financial issues because they didn't make the money that the players are making now. So most of it's Gridiron Greats trying to bring awareness to the players that played long before us and kind of pave the way for us.
And I've heard you talk about this too before, Brian. You know, like you said, man, I mean, players years ago, the money wasn't what it was when, you know, like when you're playing, especially now, it's crazy.
Yeah, the players make good money now, but they earned it. I believe every player out there deserves the money they get paid.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that in my mind. But the older guys, the guys who didn't make the money that they're making now, and they didn't have the benefits. You know, they didn't get the insurance. They didn't get the whatever. There's a ton of stuff that the players get now that they didn't get back then. So I think just trying to help them as much as we can is a good thing for them and the game as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Pork Rind Appreciation Day, as you said, Super Bowl Sunday. I know you're a big Pork Rind fan.
They're so good. So this is what I didn't realize. They're healthy for you. So Southern Recipe, they got protein, they got carbs, and they're my wife's gluten free. So they're gluten free. They're on a keto diet. There's so many. I didn't realize how good they were for you, I guess. And you know, I didn't always eat them because I cared about the protein or whatever. But they taste good to me, and they have a ton of different flavors as well, which is a good thing.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I'm a big fan. And then, just learning more before the interview, I'm kind of trying to learn a little bit more about the day itself, the Appreciation Day. And you're right.
Yeah.
They're actually not bad for you at all.
They're not bad at all. You know, if you're going to be sitting around watching a football game, I'm going to eat something that's good for you.
Yeah.
And it tastes great, too, as well, which helps.
Hey, Brian, how many times in an interview do you get, and I haven't even asked yet, so I'm proud of myself, the hair thing, right? How many times in an interview do you get asked about hair?
So not as much anymore. Early on, when I first got the procedure done, it was a whole bunch. I think it's been 5 or 6 years now, but now I think I'm used to it now that it doesn't bother me or I don't think about it, I guess, but not as much as you would think, surprisingly. I mean, everyone pictures me bald, obviously, from my playing days, but now if you saw me, you'd be like, who is that guy?
Well, and Brian, I mean,
easier now.
Well, you're one of those guys that can pull you pulled off the bald look, man. I mean, you look ferocious, you look good.
Well, I was bald. I didn't have a choice. Even I was bald, I had the two divots in the front, so I was like, I need to shave my head. I look terrible. So I just went ahead and did that. But, you know, once I got my hair back, my wife was like, it looks good. So all it took was her telling me it looked good one time, and I was like, I'm in.
You're in. Yeah, that's awesome, man.
That's right.
I love it. I shaved my head once. I lost a bet here on the show, March Madness, and my wife was terrified of me for about 3 weeks. So that was exciting.
Well, you know what the worst thing is? If your head's not tan, it looks horrible because they look like a cue ball.
Oh.
But if you got a little bit of a tan going up there, you can kind of pull it off a little bit.
Yeah, and I'm a very pasty white male, man. I look very, very Caspery, if you will.
Gotcha. I get it. Yep.
Brian, is there anything else we need to know, man, about Pork Rind Appreciation Day? As you mentioned, Gridiron Greats, information where people can go learn more about this.
Yeah, there's Gridiron Greats is obviously a great one to go to and check out what they're trying to do and raise money for these ex-players. And Southern Recipes is awesome as well. The people who are partnered up with the Gridiron Greats, they're both doing great things. And the pork rinds taste unbelievable. So go buy some. They're really good.
I'm going to do it after the show. I'm always starving by this time. So talking about food's a killer.
I'm starving permanently. Always starving.
Brian, appreciate you, man. It's an absolute thrill to get
Thank
you on the show. I'd love to do it again sometime.
All right, bro. Take care.
All right. That's Brian Urlacher, first ballot Hall of Famer, talking about Pork Rind Appreciation Day. Pretty cool there. Get him on for something, of course, talk about it. But a great, great guy. Fun interview. 46 minutes after the hour. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into, let's talk about how you got some good news with the UNC Bears. Bodie Hume continuing to make headlines in the Big Sky Conference. So we'll talk about that. I want to get on all this NBA stuff coming up with Chris Dempsey. So we have a lot to hit. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Don't go anywhere.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
What did we learn from a Hall of Famer? Altitude is a real deal to these guys coming in. And, you know, he's frustrated with the defensive rules in the NFL. I am. I'm a defensive-minded guy. Love watching great defense. How about that, though? You're so connected to football, you get so busy with your other stuff, because he's doing a lot of different things. I mean, when you're fairly young, I mean, he played 12 years. Guys, you know, look at Tom Brady's playing well into his 40s. So he's got a lot of opportunities outside of that, you know, working with Pork Rind Appreciation Day, Gridiron Greats. You don't get a lot of time to sit and watch football. And that's the thing. Like, sometimes people just assume that because you play, you're a fan. And then you can easily go on and be a commentator and talk. A lot of guys, I remember watching guys like Al Wilson and, you know, Broncos players. It's like, I don't watch much football other than film. So when I watch film, I'm watching so much of it, and I'm watching it in a different way than you and I are, Colfax, that they're like burnt out of it. So it's kind of interesting. It's like, honestly, I don't watch a whole heck of a lot. Haven't got a chance to do it that much. First Advantage text line 31996. That will be our big interview coming up. We'll put that up on our podcast, thewholeshow.com, as well as 1310kfka.com. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. How about this one? Should the Broncos, again, assuming the offense keeps going in this trajectory where they don't score a lot, you got to get to the point where you have to make a decision, or you just have to hope and pray you're getting the right offense. That's it. Because right now, Pat Shurmur, Drew Lock experiment, is it safe to say that it's failing? I think it's safe to say that. But do you really want to recharge this thing again? I mean, there is something to say about continuity right now. I mean, that you got to have that, and eventually we have to get to that point. Should the Broncos start over with the offensive scheme and replace Pat Shurmur? And again, this is more of a, what does that look like at the end? 58% of the Hooligans say no, whereas 41% say yes. And for those that say yes, I mean, what in John Elway's history and this offense's history since Peyton Manning has shown you that they can go find the right guy mixed with John Elway's ideas? I mean, what in the history shows you that he's going to do that? Because you're not getting Peyton Manning anymore. That ship has sailed. And the odds of, and again, Tom Brady's kind of, other than Sunday, he's kind of one of those guys too, going to a new team and he's doing pretty good. That doesn't happen very often. Didn't happen with Joe Montana. It didn't really happen with Brett Favre. I mean, he had the good years with Minnesota. What, 1.5 good years with Minnesota, but bad with Jets. So it's kind of rare. So you're not going to go out and get Matt Ryan. Everybody's like, Matt Ryan and all these other guys that are going to be up for... I don't know if Denver goes that route again. I don't think they're going to give up. This has been called the test year for Drew Lock, but I think the only way he fails the test, Colfax, is if you flat out grade him out as an F. I think if he gets a D, if you grade him out as a D this year, you're going to load it up again. That's how I'm getting that feeling more and more. Because you've just done it so much. Now you've got to the point where you're replacing a head coach every 2 years. You're replacing an offensive coordinator every year. And then you're replacing a quarterback every year, it seems like. Every year to every 2 years. When do you just stop and say, hey, we're just going to load it up again. We're going to go that same route as we've been going and just see what happens next year. First Advantage text line 31996. Shoot us a text here. I'm right. So somebody's got to start stepping up here. A couple of okay texts, but who's going to step up and take Top Text Tuesday? That's what we got to know. But again, First Advantage text line 31996, 31996. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to 31996. Bodie Hume, I'm telling you guys, and I don't know what the rules are going to be with fans in the stands, but KFKA will have you covered for UNC basketball. We carry all the games. We do a show on Mondays leading up to the season called it's just a men's basketball preseason special. And we talked a lot about, you know, Eastern Washington. We actually interviewed the voice of Eastern Washington yesterday, Larry Weir. And, you know, they're talk about bummed. We think that the Bears could have won the tournament. They were the number one team in the conference. They beat the Bears twice. So Eastern Washington goes away, thinks they're going to take this thing. They're going to go dancing. And they have the guys to do it. Jacob Davison has been tabbed the 2020-2021, it's so hard for me to say, Big Sky Men's Basketball preseason MVP. I voted for Bodie Hume. I think I'm the only one. I'm a member of the Big Sky media polls. I'm the only one, I think, that voted for Hume. Wishful thinking? I don't know. I think this is going to be that year where Bodie was great last year. I think he averaged, 13, 14 points per game last year. I think this is going to be one of those, 14 points per game. I think he's going to be one of those special players. And I don't know if he goes to the next level. I mean, Jonah Radabaugh was great. Jordan Davis was great. Andre Spite was great. Right now, at least, they're not at that next level. Andre Spite's probably safe to say maybe doesn't get there. JD and Radabaugh, they're both very young. Radabaugh's in that first year playing overseas. Jordan's in his second. Is Bodie that kind of player that could potentially even achieve greater things? I'm not so sure, but I think he's going to do some big things in this conference. Well, he was named an all. Big Sky second team. So this year he's on the preseason startup here, and their preseason all conference team is Jacob Davison out of Eastern Washington, Kim Aiken out of Eastern Washington, Bodie Hume out of Northern Colorado, Jabrel Bello out of Montana State, Cameron Shelton out of Northern Arizona, and Michael Stedman out of Montana. So you got one Montana State, one Northern Arizona, one Montana, one UNC, and two Eastern Washington. So yeah, I think it's their conference to lose. Eastern Washington. I mean, I think it's going to be a big season for UNC, but that hurdle for the Bears is still going to be Eastern Washington. They lost one of their studs, but their best two are still on this team. So, I expect some pretty big things from Eastern Washington. Let's see if UNC can get over that hump. The season starts on the 27th. So they'll be taking on Southeast Missouri, I think. That's the very first game of the season. You'll be able to hear it right here on 1310 KFK all season long. And it is Tuesday. Inside the Bears Den is tonight, 6 to 7. Jason Alvin talks all things UNC athletics. There's a lot going on. All right, second hour coming up. We're going into the NBA. All NBA with Chris Dempsey. Talk about, the dates. We have dates now. We have a start date to the NBA season. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.